Welcome to a new segment titled The Tape and Real Soulful. This is just a seg for the music heads, and I got some big music heads with me today in the studio. As always, I'm going to let them introduce themselves. I'm not going to introduce you guys. So if whoever wants to kick it off, we'll kick it off. Alvin, you want to introduce yourself first? Go on.
I'm Alvin. Yeah, like Joseph said, big music head. Anything music, I'm there, you know. Yeah.
Cool. Who else we got in stew?
I'm Rudine. Oh, Lord Jesus Christ. I'm Hello. Rudine. Getting used to the technology. But yeah, similar to Alvin, I'm just a big music lover. Yeah.
Nice. Last but not least.
I'm David, or D-Sharp, and I'm a music producer. I produce for a couple, let's say, underground artists for now. Yeah. And yeah, I'm glad to be here.
Did you guys enjoy the artwork, the cover?
Oh, yeah.
Cover
art? Beautiful.
Because I feel like that's a very important thing. Those that, like, obviously, like, when albums come out, I feel like as an album, your cover art speaks for itself. I don't know if you guys, like, enjoyed it at all.
Yeah.
Definitely.
Like it. Was there anything you thought about from it, looking at it?
Well, I feel like it was clear to see, well, to see that, well, he was Mr. Morale, and then the kids and the family, like, they were the big steppers.
Is there a reason why he's called, why he's Mr. Morale? I don't understand.
I feel like he's just a spearhead of the family, I guess. He feels like he has to be the spearhead of the family. That's why that's my take on it.
It kind of gives me, like, you know when, like, you have, like, an uncle in the family kind of vibe? I don't know, that's the name. I don't know, Mr. Morale just sounds like a very... Do you know what it is? I feel like this album is, like, I don't know, compare, but it feels like a 444.
You know when
you just get to that age where, like, you're very, like, mature now?
Yeah.
This is what this album feels like. It feels like it's weird because Kendrick has always been a mature artist anyways, to me, I would think.
Yeah.
But this just feels like a more mature version of him kind of vibe.
I think it's for a certain kind of person. And like you said, it's not for everyone. It's not for everyone.
Okay.
And I think that there's themes that he's speaking on that you maybe can't relate to if you don't have a child or stuff like that. Do you know what I mean? So
did you enjoy the cover art? Did you like it?
I think it was beautiful. Okay, Black Love. Come on.
Yeah, come on.
We're real for it. Did you enjoy the cover art as well? Did you like
it? Yeah, I loved it. I feel like, I remember when it came out, I tweeted, I think this is like, this represents the pinnacle of his career. Mm. Like, if he sees past artworks, like, they're not as grand. Like, you can even see the crown
Paper
of thorns.
Butterfly was a grand, was grander.
True. I think the cover art related more to, like, what he was talking about. Obviously, you know, the Black Struggle and stuff. I feel like more about him, at his career. Him with the crown of thorns. So he's like, you know, he thinks it's like Jesus sort of thing. So he's like at the top of the game sort of thing. That's the way I saw it. And I also noticed that there was a gun.
A gun in his back.
Yeah. But that's kind of interesting as well. It was like, even I'm at this point, like, still remember where I came from sort of thing.
And then you know it's on content, bro.
You'll get got.
Tell them the truth.
I hope you find some paradise.
Tell them.
So firstly, I just like the way that everything's mixed, right?
I can't lie, that's something I remember seeing on Twitter a lot of times. People were saying that the mix was amazing.
Yeah, like, this is some of the best mixing I've heard from Kendrick, aside from To Pimp a Butterfly.
Okay.
Honestly. And also, like, the choice of instruments, the pianos were just mixed so well. Mm. Yeah, the use of violins.
This is producer head talking, by the way.
For sure.
I feel like he's using, you know, the resources from Black Panther. He's like, okay, I've delved into that cinematic world.
Yeah.
I can definitely bring those vibes
into this album.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's a good point. Do you think Damn was all mixed?
Damn, I feel like it was just more of a rough kind of vibe. It's not my taste. I like things like very, very clean. But like, I can understand why he took it to that kind of rougher side. Because the ideas were very rough. Yeah. But it was also left to our own interpretation of how the tracks were obviously taken in. So
no, hello.
I've been going through something.
Has he really?
1,855 days.
You know when he mentions the days?
Mm-hmm. Is that like exactly the amount of days between Damn and now?
Mm-hmm. That's what I was thinking.
That's what people were saying. Okay. He said it was 1,855 days since, what did he say? He said, I've been going through something. 1,855 days. I've been going through something. Be afraid. So yeah, he's letting you niggas know, bro. He's coming with something. But yeah, I think that was a timeline between Damn and now.
Wow. That's a lot of days. A family broken in variables. What is a rapper with jewelry? A way that I show my maturity. What if I call on security? That means I'm calling on God for purity. I wanna get me a therapist. I can debate on my theories and sharing it well. Consolidate all my comparisons, humbling up because time was imperative. Well, started to feel like it's only one answer to everything. I don't know where it is. Well, popping the bottle with Claritin. Well, is it my head or my arrogance? Well, shaking and moving like what am I doing? I'm flipping my time through the Rolodex. Indulging myself in my life and my music. The word that I'm in is a cul-de-sac. The word that we're in is just menacing. The demons portray the religionists. I wake in the morning, another appointment. I hope the psychologist listening.
The beat switch ups are crazy. The new Mercedes with black G-Wagon away from. It was all for rap. I was 28 years young, 20 million in tax. Bought a couple of mansions, chef for practice. 500 in jewelry, chain was magic. Never had it in public, late reaction. 50K to cousins, post the caption. Pray none of my enemies hold me captive. I grieve different. G-Wagon away from, it was all for rap. I was 28 years young, 20 million in tax. Bought a couple of mansions, chef for practice. 500 in jewelry, chain was magic. Never had it in public, late reaction. 50K to cousins, post a caption. Pray none of my enemies hold me captive. So what? Paralyzed, the county building controlled us. I bought a Rolex watch, I only wore it once. I bought affinity pools I never swam in. I watched Keen by 4 cars in 4 months. You know the family dynamics on repeat.
But you know what, I've clocked you, I'm not gonna lie. For intro, I realized how long this was. As an intro, and it fits with the theme of, like, because what I read about it in particular to this first track was, obviously, to be fair, now it's making sense why it's called United in Grief, because I think he was talking more so about him being put into therapy as well. I think from damn till now, a lot of the times where he said he was suffering from a bit of mental health. So again, if you think about it, 5 years of being able to not get out, and obviously this is like your first track back. There's probably a lot that you probably want to say off your mind, off the dome.
I feel like him, like, talking about him, like, his mental health difficulties during then, and then I feel like it was juxtaposed with his, like, successes as well. He was mentioning, like, he bought a Rolex he doesn't even wear and stuff like that. So when he talks about he grieves different, I feel like he's like, I could be, like, in a worse position than I am now, but what I have now, It's a different grieving to what you.
Oh, yeah, that makes sense. Yeah.
I genuinely think it's one of his best intros. Like, yeah. I remember hearing.
You think thinking, so?
Yeah, like,
wow.
I feel like this is, like, a perfect embodiment of, like, changing mind states. Like, even, like, the beat switches and stuff like that. One thing I like about Kendrick is, like, he can rap on jazz. Not a lot of people can do it. It's not easy thing to do.
That's something I've deep as well.
It's incredible.
That is something I've deep as well. It's almost like poetry, and I think that's people were alluding to the fact that it sounds like their poetry jam. Because, like, your first track isn't like you've got to kind of find, like, a rhythm, and, like, jazz is not something that's, like, you easy pick to like find a rhythm to.
Take off the fufu, take off the cloud chase, take off the Wi-Fi, take off the money phone, take off the car loan, take off the flex and the white loss. Take off the weird ass jewelry. I'ma take 10 steps, then I'm taking off top off. Take off the fabricated dreams and the microwave memes. It's a real world outside. Take off your idols. Take off the runway. Take off the Cairo.
Redeem loves this song, boy.
Ooh, I'm a beat gal and this is doing it for me.
I'm not gonna lie, he's out in a lot of people here, you know. Because he says, take off the weird ass jewelry. I'ma take 10 steps, then I'm taking off top five. And then he says, take off them fabricated streams. Jesus Christ. Take off them fabricated streams.
He's calling out the machine, fam. And the
microwave memes. It's a real world outside. Take that shit off. Like, this one was a violent track. I'll be real. This one was a violent track. And I feel like that's what I like. Like I haven't said, like, it's one thing to do the introspective thing. And so now it's just a common, like, straight smoke. I'm like, literally let you know, like, yo, even if it's been 5 years, bro, like, I'm still out here.
You have pocket, 2 ATMs, you step in a what? You have pocket. Who you think they talk about us? Who you think they carry up us?
He's going hard on this track. The little beat breakdown when it went more slow, then he came back with the fire, the voice change.
Exactly.
You can imagine this in the club.
Is this one of your favorite tracks?
Yeah, I feel like this is like one of the hits.
You think this is one of the hits?
This is one of the
hits. Because
this could play outside.
And this is one thing people don't like about Kendrick. Like, what I hear a lot of the times is, like, obviously you have singles, which are, like, definitely are going to do numbers and like people, like it's marketable, but a lot of like Kendrick's, the perception of Kendrick is like his music, it's kind of like similar to Dave. like you can't, like obviously like you've got tracks that are definitely like singles and they're bangers and they can like be played in clubs, but someone like Kendrick, or basically the introspective rapper essentially, is like people would hate them, that kind of rap, because it's like you can never really play this anywhere else. It's something that like you have to have a particular taste to like listen to.
Is this the outro?
I'm not sure.
The song.
Yeah, I'm just thinking.
Yeah.
Obviously, I can't hear, so I guess I just have to guide me.
All right. So I got a couple things here. You see where he was saying like this shit hard,
mm-hmm.
bro. I feel like he was saying people only focus on things being hard instead of what the person is saying.
Oh,
okay. So literally, that's why it's ringing through your head. It's like okay. This shit. That's like your thoughts. It's literally this shit. I don't care about anything else. This shit's hard. Mm-hmm. But he was literally speaking about it's like he was speaking to the guy or whoever's listening. Oh, you're in toxic relationships. What else was it saying inside the verse?
Was that the last verse?
Yeah. So
last bit. Some communities feeling relevant as well. Yeah.
No one will actually listen to the message. You just focus on the beat that's just being hard.
You think this was intentional then, that he decided to have a sick beat and still...
That's my take on it.
Rap something crazy and you just feel like you're going to just focus on it.
Know. Yeah. I feel like he definitely emphasized flow over like lyrics, what you were saying.
Because
I feel like it was the same thing with, so like humble, you could say.
Yeah.
I feel like even starting from Damn, I feel like he started to include songs that were more like jumpy, because everyone was starting to label him as like a conscious rapper and stuff like that. Because like he even says, like, I think his episode's outro is like, I'm not a conscious rapper. I'm not this. I'm a human being.
So
I feel like there's nothing wrong with having light and shade in what you put out, like,
but to have that kind of like balance
for sure. Yeah.
Or just being outside that box. He doesn't like to be put in a box, innit?
Exactly.
I want to know who produced the beat as well.
She'll find out for you still. Let me see who did that.
See, Apple Music, I can't, like, you can't find these things. It's just
Spotify. That's why you need to jump on thing, bro.
No, I've got both, innit?
You got Dolby.
Tidal. What?
Sorry.
Are we going to have this argument now, yeah? Which streaming service is the best?
Do you know what it is? Okay.
Wait, Rudino, are you on Tidal?
I'm on Tidal. What? Spun. You don't fuck with Tidal. Can I swear?
To be fair, I started on Tidal and I jumped on Spotify.
Okay.
So I'm a Spotify girl, but Tidal has changed the game for me. The sound quality, you guys,
it's like the best.
You listen to the same song on Spotify than Tidal. That's all you need to do.
You think there's a big difference?
A big difference.
No, but then I did the same thing with Spotify and Apple Music. I went from Spotify to Apple Music, and Apple Music, not only do they recommend better songs, the shuffle is more comprehensive. It's actually like when you're listening to AirPods, it's actually like calibrated to improve the quality.
Can you check your song credits? Do you know who produces your music? There we go. So this was produced by Tay Beast, Soundwave, and JLBS. I don't know.
I saw a lot of Soundwave down there. Yeah,
she's cold.
Is it?
Yeah.
Okay.
Let me come and try and find it. There's a bait popular song that she produced.
Yeah.
Is it not? Nah, I can't remember right now, but there's a, she's amazing.
Call that black. Okay, Lum. Eckhart Tolle. And this is the bit step.
Hold on. Before you even start, you recognize that name, Eckhart Tolle?
Yeah.
Okay, cool. So Eckhart Tolle is responsible for a series of books that is like really good at helping the person be conscious of their unconscious behavior.
Okay.
Oh.
This is like psychology?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mad.
So, I feel like my favorite one out of the whole collection is A New Earth, isn't it?
Mm.
Yeah, so I feel like just mentioning that, the fact that Kodak Black has read that book, or even just
spent a lot of time in prison. Eckhart Tolle is a German writer and philosopher, perhaps best known for his 1997 self-help book, The Power of Now.
Yeah.
A Guide to Spiritual Enlightenment.
Yeah.
Kodak been reading, bro. with all these charges that's going on, he's trying to come out in the clear. I'm a killer, he's a killer, she's a killer, bitch. We some
killers walking zombies trying to scratch that itch. Germophobic hit or roll. I am not for the faint of heart. My genetic build can build multi-universes. The man of God playing baby shark with my daughter, watching for sharks outside at the same time. Life as a protective father, I kill for my son Enoch is the part two. When I inspire my children to make higher valleys. In this present moment, I saw that through. Ask Whitney about my lust addiction. Text messaging.
Can I just say, I'm really glad that he's very vocal about his. I don't think he's been as vocal about his kids before, has he? Is this the first time?
Yeah.
I'm really glad that he decided to like incorporate that into his music. Mm. This is what I'm saying. It speaks on the maturity, man. This nigga's growing, bro.
It's
like,
a newfound appreciation for life.
Because I've never seen him as immature. It's one thing, like, for example, I gave the example of like Ho, for example, seeing him from like all the way, like maybe like Reasonable Doubt, all the way to like 4-4, like you can see growth in it.
Yeah.
But since listening to Kendrick, I've never ever seen, have you ever seen him as like an immature rapper, or like have you ever, has the subject matter always been the same? Because he I feel like he was always rapping about whatever he wants to rap about, but I never saw him as somebody that's like immature or was like,
no, do you know what it is? On features, he's not who he is. He can't be himself because it's not his track in it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But then in his own music, he's like very, very self-reflective and stuff like that. But I don't know, even now, like with, let's say the project with Keem.
Yeah.
Mm.
I don't know if he's still like himself.
Okay.
In a sense.
Okay.
You know what it is? I wouldn't say he was immature, but I feel like he was always on smoke. Like, you know when he came up control?
Yeah.
He started naming everyone. Like, I'm the king of New York. I'm like, rah. Man came from Compton and said, I'm the king of New York. Like, crazy, I read it. But I feel like now he knows, like, he's got the prestige now. He's like, everyone knows what I'm about.
He knows he is, yeah.
So, like, I can cool it down a bit. Not necessarily.
I feel like he's still that person at heart.
Okay.
But like I was saying, light and shade, there's
multiple sides to him.
Yeah, exactly.
Multiple sides to him.
Yeah.
I've never seen him as immature.
You've never seen him as immature?
No, not immature.
Fair. He says here, watching for sharks outside. No, he says, playing baby shark with my daughter, watching for sharks outside at the same time. Life as a protective father, I'd kill for her. My son,
Enoch, is that reflective of the cover up with the gun in his pocket?
Because obviously, I think are they both boys? Is one
girl
and
one boy.
One's a girl. Okay. I don't know who the girl
he's
is.
The girl,
mother's holding the girl.
Okay, cool.
I thought he was holding the boy, sorry.
Oh. No, unless I'm looking at that thing.
That's what I was thinking. Wait, who's who?
He's holding his son, I think. Yeah.
Okay.
The mother's holding the door.
First.
I could be wrong, though. That's the thing, though. Like.
That's what I'm saying. He says, playing baby shark with my daughter, watching for sharks outside at the same time. Life as a protective father, I kill for her. My son Enoch is part two. When I expire, my children will make higher valleys. In this present moment, I saw that through. Ask Whitney about my lust addiction. Chai, what's going on here, bro?
Damn.
Ask Whitney about my lust addiction. Wow. Are they still together? I heard that they had split. Like, it was confusing because people were saying that her being on the cover, they were split at some point, like after this had come out. Or I don't know.
Oh, really?
I'm this bugging.
First time
I people, some people were saying, I don't know if it's correct. Some people were saying that.
Either way, I feel like he's become mature enough to actually be like co-parents at least.
Yeah, exactly. Mm.
Yeah. Ask Whitney about my lust addiction to texting, text messaging bitches got my thumb hurt.
We all know what he was.
Set president for a new sack religion. Writer's block for 2 years. Nothing moved me. Ask God to speak through me, and that's what you hear now.
Oh snap! So wait, his lust was cheating. Because if you think about lust and damn, you know, when he's like, just a little touch.
Oh,
you know
that. Shit.
He kind of wants to, like, you know.
Yeah.
So maybe that's why, like,
the heart of man,
Not for sure, man.
Getcha.
Let me tell you, I paused and laughed a good 5 minutes when I first heard that. It just came out of nowhere.
Bro, I was listening to that and I was like, what? Like, bro, that was so unnecessary, bro.
You know what kills me? He kind of pauses after he says it. So he's like, damn, I kind of said it. It's out here now. I must continue in it.
Were you surprised by him saying that?
Oh, for sure. I didn't even think it was into white girls. I'm not going to lie.
You didn't think so?
Nah. Even from Good Kid, Matt. See, I was thinking, like this guy, like, you know.
But you don't have to be into
true.
To dibble dabble. Do you know what
that's
I mean?
True. He was probably thinking, whole life.
What was his point for mentioning it, though? I don't understand. Like, obviously, there's more context as we go through it, but like, just hearing that, I'm just thinking, bro, like.
I'm sure he goes on to relate it to like racism and ancestors and how we feel about.
Oh, so like it's like that. A regret. Because that's basically what that's basically what like as we go on, that's basically what
he's just thinking about it out loud. And trying to process how he actually feels about it. Because as you said, I don't even think probably he is necessarily into them.
Yeah.
But it's just something that happened. And yeah, he's reflecting on it.
So damn.
I've actually got two things to say regarding what you said. What? So I always thought like he was with his wife, his current wife from high school. Because I always used to see pictures of them. When
that's
like,
what I was saying.
So I was shocked when he said that. I was like, I thought you were Von Gogh this whole time. But also, talking about like things he's regretting, because he mentioned as well, like he's had writer's block for 2 years. So I feel like even the way he's like rapping on this, it feels like he's just in a trance. He's just literally unloading everything that's on his mind.
Exactly.
And even like the instrumental sounds kind of somber. It sounds kind of unsettling. So
yeah,
I feel like it's kind of
like
kind
he's pacing through his mind.
Exactly.
He said. I found out he was a sheriff. He's talking about the white girl. I found out her dad was a sheriff. That was a weird win because he had locked up Uncle Perry. She paid her daddy's sins. Next time I fucked a white bitch was out in Copenhagen. Good kid, mad city tour. I flourished on them stages. Weenie asked, did I have a problem? I said, I might be racist.
No, but I feel like if you're not consciously listening, you'll miss out on these gems. You'll just be thinking, oh, this is a trash track. Like, if you're actually listening, you'll actually laugh along. It's not very common that an album makes you laugh.
Like, yeah, this That's track, true, when I heard that, I was like, I'm so confused, bro.
So you guys kind of feel like this is like a random track?
Like, I don't think it's random. I think it's very, like, the purpose behind it is like, there's intent behind it, but it's like, you know when like celebrities do this thing where like, for example, I remember when DJ Envy and his wife, they came online to say, the white people said DJ Envy doesn't like please her in the bedroom. I'm just thinking, bro, why are you coming online to the
table? They were like, he doesn't make her orgasm.
I was thinking, bro, why are you coming online to tell people this? So it's in the same way I'm listening and I'm just said, first time I fucked a white bitch. I was thinking, bro, like, okay, where's this going?
No, but sometimes the best way to deliver really, really harsh things is through comedy. That way people are more accepting of it.
So,
you know, rate the transparency for real.
That's one thing I rate as well. And I feel like again, I keep comparing this because I don't know why I keep using 444 as my like analogy, but it's like this is like his therapy album in a sense. I guess being away for 5 years will do that to you. Like, there's so much that he's been through from damn till now, and he hasn't been able to express that. Obviously, being able to, I guess, having a writer's block and the things he's gone through. So it's like all of this right for him is therapy. And essentially that's what music is for a lot of these artists anyways. It's always that kind of like their therapy session, isn't it? Some are just more transparent than others. Side of murderer, what's your body count? Who your sponsorship? Objectified so many bitches. I killed their confidence. The media is the new religion. You killed the consciousness. Your jealousy is way too pretentious. You killed accomplishments. Niggas kill freedom of speech. Everyone... Sorry, he said, hold on, I don't know if that's what he said, but I remember he said, silent murderer, what's your body count? Through your sponsorship, objectified so many bitches, I killed their confidence. I said, bro, I can't lie, I can relate. That one got to me still. But this is like, this is what I'm saying, like, this is his therapy, man. Like, he's got a lot to offload still. And I like the fact that he's hit that with that, what the? Because it's like, bro, what are you?
No, but these are the thoughts that normal people actually have, innit? When you're thinking that, in your head, you're low-key like, what the fuck? Literally, like, you're like, why is this something that humans can actually fathom?
Yeah.
And I feel like what Kendrick does a lot of times, he makes his albums like his intrusive thoughts. It's like things you think, but like Dave's saying, things you think but you don't say. He just doesn't care and he'll put it on the track and you're just thinking, bro, what? Like, Regina's all about me, bro. She's vibing. She is vibing. Set my demon straight. I know I made you wait. How much can you take? Hope you can see. If it's up, stay down for me. The girl that did this chorus as well, she did her thing.
Amanda.
Her name, agree.
Her name is Amanda Reifer. Is that her name?
Okay, interesting.
She sounds a lot like Amare.
Amanda, no. Amanda Ray.
So yeah. Amanda Ray has that little baby type of voice.
Yeah, but no, but then okay, but imagine Amari on this track. I don't think you would notice the difference.
It, you know. Serious. Amare sounds like, do you know Neo?
Okay. Yeah. Oh yeah.
That it sounds type like of, and then yeah. It's more babyish. I'm afraid a little you were late, but not have faith. A little I might take my time. Ain't no saving face this time. I hope I'm not too late. Set my demon straight. I can definitely hear this on like summer. When summer really gets into it, you can I can hear this banging still. This is a very wholesome song. I'll be liking this. Like this is a good track.
Yeah.
You think the features that you added were good?
I've got a question. Yeah. When was the first time you heard from heard Blast?
My first time?
Yeah.
I'll say like 2 years ago.
Because his progression has just been crazy.
It's crazy.
Yeah, probably like 2 years ago. He's new to me still. I didn't really know.
He's very new to me. For me, it was like a few months ago. I'm not even gonna lie.
Yeah, I didn't know about him like that still.
It's been recent, yeah, but.
But that just makes me think, how long has Kendrick actually been working on his album? Or actually just this track alone? Because if Blast has only like recently come up, it must have been one of the more recent tunes to come up.
Or true. This one, or yeah. I feel, yeah. I think the features were nice, that they fit, they fit perfectly on here. Because of time, I'm just gonna kind of skip through these now. Cause
yeah,
But yeah, this track, this is my favorite track. From a generation of home invasion. Do you think it's important as well that he kind of like shuns away from it at the start? Because I feel like that's the mindset of a lot of, especially men, when you speak about therapy, and it's like, oh, it's not something that you need. Obviously, it's like it's looked down upon. Some people feel like it's a waste of money. It doesn't do anything for you, kind of vibe. So I feel like he's bringing the light to it as well.
Which I think is so important, especially in the Black community, and especially that, like you said, within men. I feel like it's still a bit of a taboo and it shouldn't be, but it's really good that he's speaking on it because people can relate. So it opens up a conversation. There might be people who are still very much thinking that way.
Yeah.
And they hear it and think, oh, well, maybe it's not as bad, or maybe I do need it. So it's opening up an important conversation.
I think it's nice to touch on it as well. Yeah. Only because a lot of the times whenever you speak about therapy, it's always from like a negative standpoint, only because it's a very vulnerable experience to be in, isn't it? And like, you don't want to have to kind of relive those moments again, like especially to a stranger as well, someone you don't know, and on top of that they're charging you for it. Just like, why would I want to go through something like that? So I think like it's important. I like the way the intro starts with his wife saying, you really need some therapy. He's like, real niggas need no therapy. Fuck you talking about? Nah, you sound stupid as fuck. Shit, everybody's stupid. Yeah, well, you need to talk to somebody. Reach out to, and then he mentions, how do you pronounce it? Eckhart.
Eckhart Tolle.
Yeah, Eckhart. Yeah. Is that how you say it? Yeah. So that's what she says. She says, reach out to Eckhart.
So he got therapy from the author.
Yeah,
that's nuts.
It's crazy. It's crazy.
That's nuts.
There's one thing reading the book, but there's one thing
to go into the actual person to chat to them about it. This guy is different, man. Yeah, like, he does things in the most grand ways. Like it's insane. It's actually insane. Daddy issues made me learn losses. I don't take those well. Mama said that boy is exhausted. He said, go fuck yourself. If he give up now, let's go cost him. Life's a bitch. You could be a bitch or step out the margin. I got up quick. I'm charging baskets and falling back, but trying to keep balance. Oh, this the part where mental stability meets talent. Oh, this the part he breaks my humility just for practice. Tactics we learn together. So I lose. I like the subject matter of this as well, man. Talking about like how important fathers are in the community.
Yeah.
I feel like it's very, very important. And it's so off Kendrick to kind of like you said, that light and dark kind of thing that he does. He can have fun on one track. The previous track was just like a summer kind of vibe, very uplifting. And now we're back to this whole like making you think. And I think sometimes a lot of people that tell me about Kendrick as well, one thing they don't particularly like is the fact that like you could be having fun on a Kendrick track and all of a sudden now you're just deep in the most maddest things as well.
That's how like emotions are. That's how life is.
This is a question. Do you think it's a good thing that he does that? That his themes of like, obviously they're probably still in the same bubble, but the emotion just ranges throughout. Do you think it's important that artists do that a lot of the times, that take you through that kind of like roller coaster journey? Or do you think it's not to say that they're stagnant, but kind of keep it the same?
I would say that there's different artists for different things, different themes, different times, different feelings, emotions. It's your business what you want to listen to. I think when there's albums that are too samey, people complain. I know I complain. If an album is too samey, every single song, you don't even know the difference between the titles. It all just sounds like one blur. Sometimes that's nice and that's your mood. Other times that is too samey. So when, I don't think we can complain if someone gives us something that is bringing different emotions or feelings.
Sanford did really well on this.
Amazing, bro.
Daddy issues, that's on me. Looking for I love you, rarely empathizing for my relief. A child that grew accustomed, jumping up when I sprained my knee. Cause if I cried about it, he surely tell me not to be weak. Daddy issues, hit my emotions, never express myself. Man should never show feelings, being sensitive never helped.
But going through kind of the lyrics here, I think it's important to like you pick up. So if he says, a child that grew accustomed jumping up when I scraped my knee, because if I cried about it, he'd surely tell me not to be weak. And I feel like that's a very important message as well.
Yeah.
Like a lot of the times, especially as guys, like the consensus growing up, it's like console your emotions or like not show your emotions, which to some degree is needed because you need to have some sort of like emotional stability and not be over emotional.
Yeah.
But I feel like there's also that extreme end of things where like, especially for men growing up, like you're not that every dad was the same, but there was just that ideology is just like you don't always like show emotion, because it transcends even to the now. Like you hear girls talking about you don't want guys to be over emotional, but at the same time they want men that are like,
that's a whole other topic.
Just pick it. But do you think it's right that there's like a new age of like men, I guess, being a bit more emotional? Or do you feel like,
see, what annoys you're the woman me here, so is there's a, in our generation, people take stuff that they read and think that it relates to everyone. So you know how you just said like women, it's not all women. Do you get what I mean? There are some of us that appreciate a good and emotional man. At the end of the day, exactly like you said, there's swings and roundabouts. Do you understand what I mean?
Okay.
So you still want somebody that's going to feel like they've got you.
Mm-hmm.
But again, comes down to personal preference. Some people really need somebody who's really in tune with their emotions. Other people don't. So I just would say, there's a real issue of just putting people into one box. And it's a spectrum.
He is a man now. I think I'm old enough to understand now. Drinking Parmesan with her hat turned backwards. Back when it was comedic relief to say faggot. Faggot, faggot, faggot. We ain't know no better.
Okay, so we're gonna have to blur it out on the tune as well.
Nah, that's calm, it's calm. If it plays, it plays.
Alright, cool. She wasn't gay, she ate pussy, and that was the difference. That's what I told my friends in second grade. She picking me up from school, they stare at her in the face. They couldn't comprehend what I grew accustomed. We pull off bumping quick like it was nothing. My auntie is a man now. What a relationship. I grew up fast. I needed no one to babysit. He gave me some cash, then gave me some gang. Cherry freshen on the dash. I never complained. Hove did the same thing, obviously in a different way. I don't know why I keep, by the way, I'm not comparing. Please, before you guys think I'm not doing that. I'm just saying like the themes I'm seeing are very similar. I remember Hove coming about his mom being a lesbian and whatever. In the same vibe, obviously, like Kendrick talks about. So he talks about his auntie being a
transgender,
right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I feel like it's definitely a reflection. The reaction of society is a reflection of society. We will focus more on the outrage than what the person was actually saying.
That's
people right. love to be offended rather than actually listen to what's being said.
We live in cancel culture.
Literally.
He said, my auntie became a man now and I took pride in it. She wasn't gay, she ate pussy. And that was the difference. That's what I told my friends in second grade. She picking me up from school. They stare at her in the face. They couldn't comprehend what I grew accustomed. My auntie's a man now. What a relationship. I grew up fast. I needed no one to babysit. He gave me some cash, then gave me some game. Cherry freshener on the dash. I never complained. She even cut my hair at the pad. Was loving my fade. So I feel like the relationship with them, like, it's good. Like, it's a beautiful relationship. Exactly. Mm-hmm. He's not hiding the fact that obviously his auntie's kind of chosen that fame. And I think towards the end, he also talks about his cousin also going from a guy to a girl as well.
I think
somebody else in the family reverse, in his. But again, like, you know, artists, it's taboo to artists to kind of like speak about these kind of things, especially if it's somebody that's close to you. And like a lot of this is one thing I know about hip hop culture, is the fact that we're very what's the word? There is a level of like, I don't want to use the word homophobic, innit?
So it's very black and white, let's call it that.
Yeah, but hip hop culture is always like, you know, popularized that kind of against that kind of vibe, innit? So for an artist, I feel like a lot more artists, probably if they don't do it in public, I mean, that's their preference, but a lot more artists are coming into light of like, these are like the kind of social issues that they're going through. Mm-hmm. And it doesn't just affect everyday people, it's affecting people that are celebrities as well, and people that are in hip hop culture as well. And that's the most important thing. The last track, just before we get out of here, because we got to do it, We Cry Together is insane.
I love this track.
It's an insane track. Have you heard it? We Cry Together.
I don't think I got to this. Is this on the second half?
No, this is the same. It's the same one. Oh, it's, okay, it's a very, it's a messy album. Well, messy track, actually.
I wish I heard that one of Griselda on this beat.
Bro. Yeah, if Griselda was on this, I need to grow the Griselda remix right now.
But yeah. I really appreciate this song. I actually really like it.
Did you like it?
Yeah, I think that. Yeah.
I've got a lot to say about this track. So much to say.
This reminded me of Thingy. This dick came free. This is the same vibe that I got from the stripes. Give me my keys, I'ma be late for work. Fuck your job, today gon' be the day you walk to that bitch. Give me my fucking keys. Nah, I like you. See, one thing about toxic love, yeah? it's fun, but it's not fun at the same time, man. It's fun, but it's not fun. I think it's important to highlight kind of like the struggles of relationships, because a lot of people think that like relationships are
perfect,
you know, perfect, and they're not. Like you get through these kind of ups and downs. And it's important to highlight. I wish we had more time to go through, but obviously we got a rare, because obviously other people come to use the studio today. But just before we go, like overall from what we've heard, just kind of tracks played. Overall, like how would you guys rate on a scale of 1 to 5? 5 being like amazing and 1 being pants.
I'll give it like a 4.3.
You're giving this a 4.3?
Yeah.
That's a solid number.
I'm going to go with the full 5.
You're giving this a 5 out of 5 album. Redeem.
Wow.
That's brazy, you know.
Okay, we're talking about the whole album.
Yeah, just as an... Oh, you got the song. No.
I know you like the song.
I know you like the song. I'm just saying, as the album as a whole, complete
so
body
I've
of work.
I've not yet gone... Okay, you have not yet completed the album.
First.
So I cannot give an answer right now. But on the first half, I'm going to stick with a 5 out of 5 for the first half.
Yeah.
100%.
All right.
Stick to it.
I was going to say 4.5.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. I think I'm on the same vibe as well. I think 4.5. I'm not going to say this is his, like, the best body of work as a discography. I don't believe so anyways. Mm-hmm. But I think from Damn till now, I can definitely say, like, this is going to grow in you. And if it doesn't grow in you, it will grow in you. Because, like, over time, the more you listen to it, the more you're going to get to it. But, yeah, man, I hope you guys have enjoyed just a very, very, very brief track selection. This is something that's gonna be do bi-weekly now. We're gonna get a lot of guys and music heads just kind of go through a lot of albums and like music that drops, and yeah, man, just give our takes on them. So yeah, man, hope you love have enjoyed the tape. That was episode 1, and we'll be back for episode 2.